All right, good morning, brethren. Good morning. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Eric Letter, and I'm the pastor of Grace Baptist Church of the Ozarks in Springfield, Missouri. And Darvin asked me to come and be with you while he's away, and so I look forward to being with you, brethren. I really feel a closeness and a kindred spirit with you, and I'm thankful for you all, and I pray the Lord bless the services this morning, and he bless your heart with his word. I'm going to be preaching from Judges 1, the book of Judges. One thing that the child of God knows, is made to know in themselves, is that we're brought to see that I'm weak. I'm weak. I'm sinful. And if my God looks to me for righteousness wrought by my hand, by my flesh and my works, in order to obtain eternal life with him, I know that I shall come short of the glory of God. And that brings me to know my weakness and my frailty and my undoneness before God, who is holy and righteous and perfect and just in all his ways. But the word of God shows us, he declares to us, that there is salvation for sinners. There's salvation for sinners who in themselves are unrighteous and unworthy of life with him. He's gracious and merciful, and he's provided salvation, full, free, grace, salvation in his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what we see here in the text this morning. We see a picture of our Lord and Savior who turns to his brethren, whom he loves, whom he will have to be with him in eternal glory, being made everlasting righteousness in their Lord and Savior, the God-man mediator, Jesus Christ. Let's read the text. This is what's being declared to us, our salvation, here in this text. Judges 1, verse 3. And Judah said unto Simeon his brother, come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites. And I likewise will go with thee into thy lot. So Simeon went with him. This portion in Judges is not any different from any other portion in Scripture in that it speaks and reveals to us the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in Judah a type of our Lord. We see a type of the Lord Jesus Christ who blesses his people with an inheritance in him. Our inheritance is in the Lord Jesus Christ. All that we have of God is directly tied and wrapped up in Christ. In Christ, there is salvation. In Christ are all the blessings of God. Outside of Christ, there is no peace with God. There's no fellowship with God. There's no blessings of God. In Christ, we have everything of our God. All the goodness, all the blessings, all the glory of our God is found in his Son, Jesus Christ. And this blessing is manifested to us. It begins, especially for the church, the heathen, the Gentiles. It begins with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified for our sins. It's made known to us. It's seen. It's witnessed in Christ's death, who willingly laid down his life for the sheep, for his people whom he loved. And that's how this book begins. Judges chapter 1, verse 1. It says, now after the death of Joshua. After the death of Joshua. There, Joshua is a picture of Christ. Even his name is the exact same name as Jesus in the Greek. It's Yeshua, Joshua, and that's what our Lord's name is, Yeshua. And so it wasn't long after his death that the people of God, the people of Israel, began to cry out to the Lord, to seek the Lord, to seek his face. And it says in the rest of verse 1, it came to pass, after Joshua's death, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." And so we're seeing here, this Judah is a picture of Christ, whom our God has appointed unto us, has provided for his people to go up before us, to go through that veil first, to lead the way, because he is the way, and he's the one that makes known to us the glory of our God. He makes known to us the Father. He reveals what this word is saying to the people of God. If you don't see Christ, you're not going to see what God is declaring to his people. We're not going to see the kindness and the grace of our God toward us in his Son, Jesus Christ. Our Lord is even called the Lion of the tribe of Judah in Revelation 5, verse 5. So this Judah is a picture of Christ. And Judah is lifted up before the eyes of the people so that we know that he's the one whom God has appointed. He's the one whom God has raised up and sent to save his people. And so all this foretells of our Lord's coming. It all speaks of Jesus Christ. Jacob, when he was giving out the blessings to his people, to the tribes, the 12 tribes of his sons, he said of Judah that unto him shall the gathering of the people be. That's Christ. That's who the people of God are gathered to. We're gathered to Christ. And it was said of Judah, that's who the tribes will be gathered to, which we see in David, who is also a type of Christ. But David came from Judah's loins. And so the Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." You know, all these details, when you just casually read the word of God, they seem like little minute details that don't have any real relevance to me. Why does God say these things? Why am I reading this word here? But they speak of Christ. And even when it says Judah shall go up, it's a picture of the resurrection of our Savior, who was lifted up, who was raised from the dead before the eyes of the people, that we should glory in him and give him all the honor, the praise, the glory for what he has done for me, an unworthy sinner, undeserving of his grace. And that's what you, who have no hope, no strength of yourselves, no righteousness to boast in, you're thankful, made thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, that God should send his own Son, that he should come into my lot, taking upon him the likeness of this sinful flesh, and that he should lay down his life for a sinner like me and be merciful to me and give me life in him and give me hope in him and faith and joy and gladness in what my Savior has done. This is what Peter said. Turn over to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and verse 30. We had seen back in our text where the Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." And I tell you, this is Christ. It's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter, standing up before the Jews, in Acts chapter 5 verse 30, he said, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus," just like God had raised up Judah. "He raised up Jesus, ye slew and hanged him on a tree." But that didn't frustrate the will of God. It didn't deter God from what he had purposed to do. This was exactly according to the determinate counsel and will of Almighty God. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. So that God has made us to bear witness of our God and Savior, to bear witness of the salvation of God, to bear witness of how God will be approached, that we come not in our own strength, not in our own righteousness, not in our own works, but we come in the one whom he has lifted up and exalted before our eyes, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one in whom we have hope and stand before you, having confidence not in this flesh, not in ourselves, but in our God who spoke and declared his Son to us, making us to know that if you will approach unto me, if you would have eternal life, look to my Son. Look to my servant whom I've sent. I've given him everything. He shall prosper in that which he has come to do, to save my people from their sins. And you that hope in him, you have a good hope. You have a good hope because he has made you righteous, not because of anything you've done, but because he is righteous. And in him is life. And he gives it to whomsoever he wills. And he makes his people to know, Lord, not me, not for my righteousness, not for my goodness, but to thy name be glory, power, honor, and praise. And when they heard that, when the Jews heard that, they were cut to the heart and they took counsel to slay them. They wanted to put those men to death for preaching not our righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. And they tried to prevent them from taking possession of the land, if you will, taking possession of the people of God, going forth and declaring this word that the people of God would be brought out of darkness and brought into the light. They tried to fight against them and prevent them, just like the Canaanites probably tried to do, did try to do in trying to prevent Israel from taking possession of the land which God had given to them. And so Judah has the authority given to him by God. He's been appointed by God to go into that land and take it. And that's what our Savior says to his disciples, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. And I'm going forth doing the will of my Father in heaven and in earth, nothing stopping him. So that he's going to save his people, he's going to have his people, he's going to cause his people to hear. Not with the hearing of the ear of flesh, but hearing by faith, the hearing of faith, whereby we hear what our God has done for us and are given faith to believe on him. And so this brings us to our text, where we see a picture of Christ in Judah, but we see Christ who speaks to you, who are weak, who are broken, who are poor, who have no righteousness of yourselves, who have nothing to boast in before God, who need mercy. And Christ comes and declares, look to me, believe on me. I've provided everything for my child. There's nothing left for you to do. Just rest, rest in the Savior, rest in the Son. And so he brings us into his lot. He brings us into his lot, his inheritance, his glory with him, so that we find our all in him. And he puts away our sins, and he conquers our enemies and subdues them and drives them out before us, that we may have comfort and peace with our God. And so he says in verse 3, Judah said unto Simeon his brother, come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites. And in the scripture, the Canaanites are always a picture of our sin. They're always a picture of the enmity in this heart against the true and living God. They're always a picture of corruption. And he says, we'll destroy them. We'll destroy those Canaanites. They'll have no power, no authority over you. They'll not prevent you from entering your inheritance, because I'll subdue them. I've subdued them. I've put them to flight. And I likewise will go with thee into thy lot. And so Simeon went with him. And so we're given to see here in Judah that in turning to his brother Simeon and saying, come up with me into my lot, we see what kindness and graciousness is spoken to Simeon. You see, Judah was the more powerful brother. He was the greater of the tribes. There were many men in Judah. They were a strong tribe. There were many in their tribe. But Simeon was a weak tribe. And Simeon was brought down very low. Simeon was the second son of Jacob and Leah. We're told that Leah conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And the name Simeon means hearing, or man of hearing. Now, Simeon had a brother named Levi, and Levi means joined. And that's what Simeon did. He joined himself to Levi, and the two of them did very wickedly in Israel. They sinned very, very wickedly in what they had done, so that their father Jacob was grieved with them. They took it upon themselves to take revenge on their sister Dinah. There was a man named Shechem who loved Dinah very much, but he took advantage of her. They weren't married, and he defiled her, and that was wrong. That was wicked of what Shechem did to Dinah. He ought not to have done that, but he wanted to marry her. He wanted to marry her. It says that his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel. And so he asked, well, what can I do that I may marry her? I want to marry Dinah and make her my wife. I love her. And Simeon and Levi spoke deceitfully. They said, well, if you get circumcised, you and all the men who you have the rule over, if you circumcise the men, then you can marry Dinah. And so they agreed to do that. This is grown men agreeing to be circumcised. And on the third day, when they would have been sore and weakened, Levi and Simeon went in there and they slew all the men. They deceived them and they slew the men. And Jacob was worried because he said, you've made me a stench in the nostrils of the other people around, because they're going to hear what you've done. And what you've done is wicked. And so when Jacob came to bless his sons when he was going to die, he said, Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. That's man's will. Man likes to boast about their free will. And all our will is bound in darkness, bound in enmity, bound in hatred against God, bound to do that which is not righteous, but evil. And so in their self-will, they dig down a wall. That's what we all do if left to ourselves. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them, or I will take out a portion for them from within another in Jacob, and I will scatter them in Israel, so that they're absorbed into the tribes that they are placed into. Well, we're like Simeon. By nature, we are like Simeon, because we are sons and daughters of Adam, who sinned against God, who rebelled against God. And we being yet in Adam, in his loins, his seed in him, when he sinned, we sinned. Because when he became corrupt, we were corrupted in him. Everything in him was defiled and corrupted, so that we come forth sinners, rebels, enemies against the true and living God. We united ourselves with the evil one. We went into darkness. We went into rebellion. We became enemies of God, and we brought ourselves under the curse of God. And when we try to work a righteousness for ourselves, we bring that curse upon us because our hands are filthy and vile, and we do not know how to approach God. Not according to this nature. And so we'll perish in our sins because we can only come short of the glory of God. But God has provided salvation in his Son Jesus Christ so that he doesn't look to you for righteousness. He looks to his Son whom he's provided, who came as the surety to save his people from their sins, to pay the debt which we owed. And he paid it all for his people sufficiently, to the full, so that there's nothing left for us to bear, because Christ bore the whole of it in our place. In Romans 3, 21 and 22, it says that Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God without the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So that the law and the prophets here, just as we see in Judges, it's all pointing to Jesus Christ. Look to him. Look to him. Flee to him. God has provided refuge from the wrath of God in his Son, Jesus Christ. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. There's nothing in this flesh that recommends one of us over another one. We're all equal in that we're sinners, defiled, unworthy. But he's provided salvation for all who look to the Son. And that's the manifestation that we are the children of God. That is the faith which he gives in us, which he reveals in us, whereby we look to Christ our Savior. And so the first true blessing of Jacob, it fell to Judah. It fell to him who was the lineage through whom Christ should come, through whom Christ should spring forth to save his people. And when it came time for the lots to be given out, Joshua was appointed to do it. And it says that the second lot came forth to Simeon, even for the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families. And their inheritance was within the inheritance of the children of Judah. Don't do it now, but in between services, if you look at the back of your Bible, some of them have maps. And if you look at the maps where it shows you the 12 tribes of Israel, you'll see that Simeon is right, completely dead center of Judah. It's completely enwrapped by Judah, so that it's the only tribe in all of Israel that is entirely surrounded and encapsulated by another tribe. There's other tribes that have other ones around them, but Simeon is the only tribe that's within completely another tribe, which is Judah. It's completely surrounded by Judah. And that's how the people of God are. We are entirely enrobed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We're entirely protected by him on all sides. There's no connection to the outside except through Judah alone. And so Judah, being a type of Christ, turns not to Reuben, who's a picture of our corrupt flesh in Adam, but he turns to the secondborn, the man who hears. He turns to the man of hearing, picturing the new man, which is born of the seed of Christ, who hears the voice of Christ, who hears the voice of the Savior, so that the stronger, the mightier, says to the brother who is weaker and unable to obtain his inheritance for himself, he says, come up with me into my lot, and we shall fight against the Canaanites, and I'll come up and I'll come with you into your lot. And Simeon heard, and Simeon rejoiced and said, oh yeah, that's wonderful, thank you, I'll go with you. I'll go with you, because it may not seem like it now, or it may be hard for us to see, but Simeon would have had to go through the wilderness there that was appointed to Judah. He would have had to do what Judah had to do in taking his own inheritance. And before he could ever get to his inheritance, he would have been fighting Judah's war. He would have had to do what only Judah could do. And he would have been destroyed by the time he got to his inheritance because he's the weaker brother. He's a smaller tribe. He's insufficient for the task that was before him. And Judah turns to him and says, "Don't worry. Don't be afraid. I'll help you. I'll bring you into your inheritance. You'll go with me into my lot, and we'll fight against the Canaanites together. And I'll come with you into your lot. I'll secure your inheritance for you too, brother. I'll take care of you." And Simeon rejoiced in that. And that's what the people of God do as well, like Simeon. There's many in the world who hear of the grace of God in Jesus Christ, and they say, "No thanks, I got this. You do you, I'll do me. I'll take care of what I need to take care of. Don't worry about me." And then they go off and get whittled down, mowed down in their sin, and they're destroyed, and they never enter the inheritance of God prepared for the saints before the foundation of the world in his Son Jesus Christ. But all those who say, "Yes, Lord, help me. Lord, bring me. Be merciful to me, Lord. I cannot bring myself into that inheritance which you've promised to your people. Take me, Lord. Take me into your lot." And bless God, he came into our lot. He took upon him the weakness of this sinful flesh. He brought himself low that he might be a fit and perfect sacrifice for you who do not have the strength or the ability to save yourselves. Paul said it this way in Romans 6. He said, "For if we have been planted together in his likeness of his death, in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." And so Christ carries his people. We have the victory over all our enemies because he's defeated them. He's destroyed our enemies and all who stand opposed to him. Paul said it this way in Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." For me. So we're like Simeon. We're that weak brother like Simeon. And Christ, like Judah, says, "Come up with me. Brother, don't worry. Don't fear. I've provided everything for you." He came into our lot, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so we find that we're like that. We're so weak in ourselves, we're like that thief who hung on the cross next to our Lord, beholding that he's come to the end of himself. There's nothing he can do to work a righteousness for Christ. He has nothing. He's a sinner. He's condemned to die. He's getting justly as he deserves. And he beholds Christ. And the Spirit gives him faith in that hour to behold, this is the Savior. This one is the Lord of glory who's come to save his people from their sins. And he's reduced to nothing but a mercy beggar. And that's what our God does for each of us. He reduces us down so that there's nothing of us except a mercy beggar who needs grace and mercy from their God. And he said, "Lord, remember me. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said to that mercy beggar, and so he says to every mercy beggar who cries out to him for mercy. He says, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And so, you that believe Christ, rest in him. Be comforted in him. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know, because the way is Christ, and he is our inheritance. And so, praise God. And if you trust him and look to him, thank God for that, because that's his work of grace in you. And if you're brought low and brought to shame in yourself and brought to nothing in yourself, thank God. Thank God and look to Christ. Trust him, because that's his mercy to bring us low and to make us see our need of him. So I pray the Lord bless that word to your hearts. Amen.